working? We're working. We are live. Yep, even when I do that. They'll be able to hear the pages turn. Okay, we're going to be... Oops. Keep it far away. There. Okay, we're going to be in Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5. And Cassie, would you open this in prayer, please? Galatians 6, I guess you guys ended up, finished up chapter 5 last week, right? That's what Gary said. But verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6, can you go ahead and read that for me, please, Cassia? So tell me what that verse means to you. How's that? Okay. Very good. Now we don't want to take in, if somebody is like sinning, like say if they're drinking or something like that, we don't want to go hang out with them and start, drinking with them is not going to help them turn to the Lord, is it? And another thing that I see when I read that is we are being instructed to, if we have a brother or sister in Christ who is straying and not going the right way, it is our responsibility to reach out to them and to try to help them as part of our. And I'm kind of going along with that as Ephesians 4, the first three verses of Ephesians 4, and I'm going to go ahead and read that and put it in there. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So to me, like when we read in chapter, in the Galatians there, where it says, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, best way to take a deal with them is to gently, right? Softly. That if we take and come down on them real hard, like, what's wrong with you? And yelling at them or, criticizing them. And you are just worthless. That's not going to help at all, right? That's not the way God wants us to do it gently. Hey, I love you, brother. I'm sorry. I want to help you, and you're not doing right here. This is, and we use it, do it gently, so that we can try to give them motivation to want to do the right thing. So, and it's a calling. When we look, in that verse in Ephesians that goes along with this, it says, to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. This is actually a verses. I have this on a little deal that I kept it beside on my bedside. Right now it's on the bulletin board in my office and stuff. It helps. helps to remind me of my purpose in life. You know, as a Christian, we're called to reach out to others. We're called to be bringing people closer to the Lord. And how do we do that? We have to be worthy. We have to work and be worthy, you know, with, you know, gently, you know, long-suffering. What does long-suffering mean? Patience. You know, you suffer, you know, impatience is, I'm not putting up with this at all. You know, well, you use patience and help bring people gently, you know. You know, it's not anything that can be done suddenly. But, you know, our goal as Christians is to keep the, keep our brothers and sisters in Christ in unity, for us all to be working together. And if somebody is kind of straying, and we kind of gently bring them back into the flock, and keep them going in the right direction. Verse 2, Stephen, can you read verse 2 for me? Galatians 6:2.
Galatians 6:2?
Yes.
I don't know where that in this one. The New King James.
Oh, okay.
Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Okay, so what does that mean to you, to bear one another's burdens?
Be kind to one another?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You know, when we bear another's burdens, we want to, you know, I look at, you seeing somebody that's got a really heavy load. They've got a pack that's got 97 pounds on it. And I've only got 30 pounds in my pack. So we take and move some of that stuff over into our pack and help carry part of their load for them. Or particularly in this case here, I think what Paul is trying to say is we're bearing one another's burdens. Is we see somebody that's struggling, somebody who is, again, maybe they're not doing the right thing, or maybe they've had extra things like sickness or injuries or, you know, job problems or something come up, and they're struggling. And hey, let me come help you. You know, I know that, you know, it's starting to get cold, you haven't got much wood, and, you know, your chainsaw is broke, so I'm going to come help you. And, you know, you help bear their burden, help, you know, help carry them through. And, you know, then that's a part of being stronger. You know, if I help them be stronger, then I'm going to be stronger because we're, you know, working together on stuff. And that is part of the law of Christ. You know, and I've got, yeah, like in 2 Thessalonians 3:14, it says, "Love your neighbor." You know, and that was one thing that God, you know, Christ said, you know, what we should do, how we should treat others. We are to love our neighbors, and that's therefore a law of Christ that He wants us to love others and help take care of them. But also, we need to keep in mind that. We're not to just totally take care of other people too, and only, you know, like it's if somebody needs the help and they're unable to work or unable to, and they're weak for a time, but then when they become stronger, you know, if they refuse to work, we're not going to take and go out there and and do it for them, okay? Welfare and stuff like that is good, is intended and godly and biblical in the means of this is while somebody is down a little bit, but for people to depend on this charity and refuse to work and not go and take care of themselves. Let's see, I think it's 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Let me see here. Second Thessalonians 3:10. It says, and Paul is talking here about when he and disciples came to stay with the church and stuff, they want to take care of him. He says, but we did not eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, because there are places in the Bible says if somebody is teaching the Word of God, you know, like a pastor or something, we are to help support them. And they are, you know, like the priest, it goes all the way back in the Old Testament and stuff, where the priests are allowed to partake of what is given because that's God's will, you know, for them to be taken care of. And but rather than take advantage of that, Paul and those with him worked. They did not want to be a burden. It says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So, and there's, you know, if you look in there and you try to look for Bible verses, it talks about whether people are able to work or not and whether we should take care of them for free. There's lots of verses in there that say, no, they, you know, you take care of those that are in need, but those who refuse to work don't get taken care of. You know, people are responsible to take care of themselves. You know, some of those, there's Genesis 2:15 is where God commanded Adam and Eve to work and to toil, and right from there, right from Genesis, second chapter, verse, that's where God's will is for us to work and maintain and take care of ourselves. There's also a number of verses in Proverbs, Proverbs 14:23, Proverbs 13:4, 1 Thessalonians 4. You see, yeah, we were in 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, but in 1 Thessalonians there's also references to that, you know, we're supposed to work and take care of ourselves, even, you know, if we're able. If we're not able, then as Christians, we need to take care of each other and help build the others up in order that they might be able to be stronger and be able to fend for themselves. That makes sense? Okay. Then in verse 3, it says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I think I've looked that up in a different version, and it was a little easier to run with. There we go. Version 6. The right version here. It says, verse 3, it says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. And to me, what that's saying in there, what with the studying stuff, is that, you know, we're supposed to be humble, and we're supposed to give credit to God for our successes. You know, that I can't take credit for the good things I've done. I need to give God the glory and give God the credit for helping me to have the wisdom or helping me to go the right direction and giving me the strength and stuff to be able to get it done. It's, you know, God working through me. It's not me doing this stuff. I can't handle this stuff by myself, not without God. That's what it's saying there, is for someone thinks himself to be something special.
Ooh, look at me.
You know, and right now, some of the studies and stuff we've been doing in the Old Testament and talking about, you know, some of the kings and stuff that, you know, get all, they see, like last week, they were talking, last week? No, it wasn't last week. Anyway, the king of Assyria was, God had used Assyria to punish another nation for not doing right, for going against God. And as a result of that, then the king of Assyria starts, hey, look at me. Boy, we're pretty tough. We're hot stuff. We can really get all this stuff done. And God said, no. Not, the credit goes with God. And as a result of that, of the king of Assyria taking credit for what God had done through him, that king was overthrown and thrown down. And verse 4, Cassia, can you read verse 4 for me? That kind of adds more to what we were just talking about you don't take credit yourself, right? And a part of that, too, is going to, and we go into verse 5, we're 4 and 5 together, it says, for each one shall bear his own load. What God is saying, in fact, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:28. Come on, phone. 1 Corinthians 11:28. No, that wasn't. Yeah, it is too. 11:28 says, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. Oh, what that's saying to me and what I believe God is telling us here is that when we need to be introspective, looking at us, instead of looking at that person over there saying, we're not supposed to be doing that. You know, if we see somebody over there, we want to go help them, but we're not attacking them or we're not putting them down for what they're doing. More, if we're going to put somebody down, we put ourselves down. You know, I look at my own actions. I'm supposed to be introspective and consider the things that I'm getting involved in or the things that I'm doing or how I look, how I am. Others might see me and if they can see Christ through me or not. I want to be introspective and think and consider that, I really shouldn't have said that last week, or, that action I took the other day when this happened, my reaction was not very godly. I want to do better. How can I, first of all, next time that comes up, how am I going to react? That would be God, would lift God up. Now, how can I react? That would, help, share God's word. And then second, I want to look at how can I make it up to that person if I did something that wronged somebody, if I did something that hurt somebody else's standing with God, or if it damage there, they said, that's what Christians are about. I don't know if you want. So those are the two things that I look at if I'm being introspective. How about you? Are you ever ever introspective and look at yourself and look at things you could do differently? Or, huh? Yeah. Yeah. And it shows it's working. Good, you know, you try to walk in their shoes so you can understand where they're coming from, why they do that.
I don't want to make assumptions.
Yeah.
Because I never know what they're going to
do. Yeah. That kind of keeps you from being judgmental, huh? Good, I like that. Thank you. How about you, Stephen? Are you introspective about your...
I'm always happy. Yeah, I'm always willing to help someone if they're in need to be helped.
Uh-huh.
So he needs help raking, and I'll go help them rake.
Uh-huh.
And they are asking me for help or something, I'll just stretch to my best.
Uh-huh.
So that way they don't have to be shy or be nervous or whatnot.
Right.
Trying to help them understand the Bible a little bit.
That's good.
And that was like when I was like in school. I try to lead kids towards God.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, every time I had a Bible with me, I could at least give it to them and let them borrow it for the day.
Yeah.
And just let them read.
Uh-huh.
Around lunchtime.
Yeah.
So that way, it helped me more, but also helped me grow.
Oh, good. How'd that work out as far as when you lend somebody your Bible today? Do you feel like people actually read the Bible and understood it?
It was 50-50, so I got some kids who actually said they wanted to read it, and they read it.
Uh-huh.
There was another 50, which that 50 actually kind of read it and kind of not.
Yeah. Did it help stir up conversation or communication about God?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
The 150, yeah. It was a lot of communication.
Right.
About asking questions about what he did,
uh-huh.
Down the cross and whatnot.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool. You know, for each one shall bear his own load. And a part of our load is going back to that verse I read in Ephesians, where it's talking about our place in this life of the our calling. You know, what is your calling? And I could see in both of your responses here, your calling, you know, sharing and being willing to help and to do, and it shows. I see that, you know, just like when we come over here, you're jumping right on, can I help you? And I see the way you vet, and that's part of your calling. And your calling is gentleness and, you know, understanding, trying to put yourself in and trying to understand where somebody's coming from. And does that help you to be able to actually help them, do you think? Do you think you're able to reach people with that? You know? You've seen some results, maybe? Yeah. Any of those results you want to share with us? Specific. You don't have names or anything, but. Comfort or advice? So how often do, you know, he said 50-50 on the, how often on the comfort advice do you get people wanting which?
I
Pretty much, yeah.
But some people want both.
Right. So how do you comfort them?
I mean, well, it depends on the situation. But especially if, I don't know, I try not to be like too forward with people who like aren't Christian, because I feel like being too forward just like drives people away more.
Mm-hmm. Think listening is a comfort?
Yeah.
I think so too. I think that's something that if you're willing to listen, then the person doesn't feel so alone. Mm-hmm. They feel like somebody actually cares.
Just like letting them know that they're there.
Yeah. Just right into the other side of the deal about giving advice. What kind of advice do you give?
I mean, again, it depends on the situation, but sometimes I have to like think about it for a bit, you know, because most of it's just like drama at school.
Uh-huh.
So it's just like I have to think about the other person too.
Right. Okay, so do you try to give them worldly advice or godly advice? Criticize a little bit if you throw the Bible out there?
I think they're just kind of like taken aback by it. Not really like criticized. They're just like, oh, I didn't really expect to do that.
Uh-huh. All right. Yeah, I think they, I think it can snap back and be difficult if we take and say, well, it says right here in the Bible that you can't do that. What works successfully for me is more, in my experience, this is a good way to go. In my experience, this is not going to work. Experience, this is the right thing. And where do I have my experience? My experience is based on how things have gone, and of course I'm a lot older than you, so I've got a lot more experience to lean on. But, you know, as you grow as a Christian, you know, the teaching and the learning, what you get either here, Tony, or private Bible study time on what God's law is, and then you relate that to your life. Say, you know what? But the thing that I am seeing as in my life at this point here, and I'm thinking, there's so many times in the past where I've like gone this way here when I knew what the Bible was doing, was saying, and I might have gone a different direction, and then I learned the hard way that that was the wrong way to go. And I've learned that what the Bible says is true. And I've learned that what God will do for me and give me support and leading me and wisdom when I have a friend who's hurting, or a friend that needs assistance or advice or something, to, I may not couch it in the name, it says in the Bible, it says, you know, here's the right thing to do. You know, the world says we do this, we poke in the eye or something like that, but, you know, what God says, I don't say what God said, but what the right thing to do, and what is the right thing? The right thing is what God is saying. But I may not use the word God, but what the right thing to do here is this. That might help a little bit. You know, and sound like you reflect sometimes, have to think about it, pray, maybe, about what the right, how it is. I remember what it was like being in school and being a Christian amongst a whole bunch of people that were not Christians. It's not easy, is it? And I pray for you all the time. And, you know, you guys, it's like I know that it's got to be a lot worse now than it was when I was in school. You know, there's so much more going on and stuff, so much stuff that's open, you know, drugs and sexual stuff and whatever, that is just like, oh, I pray for you all the time. That, you know, you just, you know, pray for God's wisdom because this is our calling. And when, you know, you're on the right track, you're doing it gently, but we are, it, you know, if, man, you know, it says, when somebody's overtaken any trespass, which means when somebody's messing up, and it doesn't say brother or sister, so it doesn't necessarily only concern Christians, does it? If that, even if that person, and maybe especially if that person is not a Christian, if that person is somebody that is doing something wrong, we should strive to gently, don't throw the Bible at them or whack them over the head with the Bible, you know, but gently try to lead them to, you know, that's not the right thing to do. You know, this is the right thing to do, and we need to do things correctly. And this would be a better way to go about it. So, and again, you know, you hit the nail on the head there with not being tempted by it. Dealing with somebody that is caught up in a sin, we don't get caught up in the sin as well. We have to remain separate from the world. We may be in the world because it's all around us, but we need to remain separate from the actions. We don't take part in the actions. We're physically present, but we are there as light. And as salt, where, you know, in the darkness, we're to be a light and to be something that somebody can look back on. And you may not see that person that you shared with. You may not see what happens to that person later. You may not see them come to know the Lord. But your word of advice, your sharing a service, at some point later in their life, there will be in a, had this big hole. I don't feel good about myself. I don't feel happy, or I'm lost. I remember Stephen. Stephen was always doing stuff for people. He's like, what did he have that I missed? What did my friend Cassie back in high school have that I didn't have that allowed them to be so wise and so gentle and so happy? happy in the face of so much garbage? And if they ask that question, and if that question brings them to Christ, then we may not be there to see it until it's time we get to heaven and say, hey, joy, I'm glad to see you made it. Right? And that's what I have for today. We're almost a little short, but we're a little bit short. You guys have anything else you want to add?
Other than this, I pretty much, by the time I graduated, a bunch of kids said congrats to me. In a nice way.
Right.
After helping them go through issues and everything, they appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I could see it in them too. By the way they smiled, I mean everything.
Yeah. Good. Cool. I'm reminded too, as you're saying it too, about the thing that happened one time when I was working for the police department many years ago. And, you know, when Cassie was talking about how she tries to put herself in other people's shoes and stuff. And there's an instance where I went to like a family fight thing. And there were, you know, there's a single parent, you know, it was a woman and her son. And he was a teenager and he was like, oh, I want to take and do my own thing. I don't want to obey. And, why are my parents so mean to me and making me, you know, so why they're so overprotective and I want to be, and I'm like, talking to them, I said, you know what, one of these days, you're going to be a parent. You're going to be able to look back and think about this day and remember, you know, you're going to understand how your parents felt and why your parents felt like. Then it was like 5 or 6 years later, maybe 8 years later, I was no longer working for the police department, but I had an auto body repair shop. And I'm there in the office one day, and this young man that I didn't know, didn't recognize, walks in to the front door of the office, and he's carrying a little baby. Just baby's like less than a month old. He says, Mr. Coppedge, you may not remember me, but there was one time my mom and I were having a fight, and you came in and you told me, said, one of these days you'll understand why your mom was feeling the way she is. When you have your own children, you'll understand how my mom was. And I want to introduce you to my son and tell you that now I understand. So it's kind of a putting somebody in a position of put yourself in the other person's shoes and give them something to relate to. And that was one of those rare things, you know, where 8 years later I got to see that, yeah, that was a good thing and worked out good. But. Okay, Stephen, can you go ahead and close this in prayer, please?
All right. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Please watch over everybody who's traveling and who are sick and whatnot. As we pray in your name, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, thanks, guys.